Good evening. I go ahead and call the meeting to order. It's 6:45 PM on September 16, 2017. This is a meeting of the Utilities Environment Committee. With me this evening in attendance, myself and committee members, Mr. Frye, Mrs. Hussman, Mrs. Westfall. Also joining us from council, council members, Mr. Hanum, Ms. Capellini, along with members from our administration, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Aller, Ms. Brining, and Mayor Stow. The agenda this evening is to discuss proposed ordinance 59-2017, which is language to amend chapters 921 and 923, and adding an additional chapter 922. And we also have a topic to discuss water regulation service charges and cross connection. And we had a request at the last meeting to discuss connections.
Service to non. Providing city service to all of our city residents, right?
Right. And I know that with the proposed ordinances, 59-2017, there were some questions for Mr. Frye that were answered, and I believe that those are updated in the material that we have in front of us. And with that, I'll open it up and see if Mr. Aller has any pieces he'd like to add.
I don't really have anything to add or modify from what you've been provided. Just kind of an explanation. I guess I say this in the letter that I sent with the changes, but these changes are primarily due to cost increases through the years. Some materials have changed through the years, and then just the way we've done operations. You know, some of the code that was still mentioned quarterly billing. We've been monthly billing for, you know, probably about 10, 12 years now, at least that. Some of the rates that were established for some of the maintenance items, you know, those were established in 1964. Wage rates have obviously increased a little bit in that time frame, so we adjusted that to account for the time that we actually do put into those situations. And then the same thing for the assessment equivalent for if somebody connects that's not within the city and they connect to a water line that did not have an assessment on it. We took our most recent project, which was a water line that went out to the 2 million gallon elevated tank, the new tank that we installed, took that project cost and then related that to a normal parcel, a 70 to 80 foot parcel. And so that fee was increased to more closely resemble today's construction costs. And then finally, the addition of chapter 922 was really just an expansion. Again, that section was originally in 921. In 1988 was put in there. The backflow and cross-connection control has expanded quite a bit, and in taking a look at a couple other cities on if they just included it within their regs or had separate sections, I saw it more as a separate section. So we're supposed to make that a separate section than 922. So that's really the extent of the changes, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have on anything that you see. Or I can, you know, if you'd like, I can go through and we can go through each section, and you know, if there's any questions, we can answer them. If not, then we can just move through.
So Kevin, one of the questions that I had that was some of the specifications that were in 922 was whether or not these are items that need to be defined in the code, or are these just more policy for the administration to be able to refer to, so you know, so if, you don't have to refer to it again if there's a slight change.
Right. We just, because it was originally in 921, we, you know, it was our assumption, if you will, that, you know, council wanted that in the code, and so we created it, you know, while we didn't keep it in the 921, we kept it in the codified ordinances, so.
So where is this from? 922.
922, the majority of it is from the Ohio EPA and/or plumbing code.
Okay. See what, I don't know how, but I don't want to jump ahead. Do you want to do?
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
What I thought we could do here is do 922.01 and just add a sentence that says that failure to conform with your order is a separate violation and could be specifically enforced and subject to penalties provided herein, and then keep the penalty provision and do away with all the guts of this, which you could basically do as a, you know, you could do it as a guideline, you could refer to the plumbing code, you could do it, but as opposed to having, because we were, I don't really, I mean, I assume you're going to, I assume this changes from time to time, the type of protection, the, you know, the specifying the types of equipment and stuff. I think we could, I think 922.01, which says if you issue an order, they have to comply with the order. You, and all we need is that and the penalty provision. I mean, I don't know that we need all the guts here. And the, and also, it's hard for me to evaluate. I actually read these. I was reading through them and I thought, you know, maybe you keep the cross connection prohibited section, but there's a lot of engineering in here that I don't know that yet, that we need. But I mean, I don't have a problem with what's here. You know, the one of the questions I had was how many of our current users on this list of facilities on, in section 922.06, how many of our current users would this affect, and do they already have this equipment, or would it, you know, what is this going to impose an additional cost, or?
No, this is, all of these facilities should have these devices already installed.
Okay.
And it's something that we do the annual inspection.
Okay. So effectively, this just codifies our current practice?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that what you're telling me? Okay. All right. Well, it's a little different. I guess I don't have any critique of what's here. It just seemed like we could have more flexibility if we just let him issue the order, let our service director issue orders to comply with whatever appropriate backflow equipment is needed. And you'd have flexibility over time to change that as you thought appropriate.
So that's my question. Do you think this is more helpful to have this kind of detail, or do you think it really doesn't matter? It's something that you put together thinking we would prefer to have the detail.
Yeah, I think it was more because it was in there before I was going to leave it in. there are cities that do what Mr. Hanum is suggesting. They just put backflow protection is required and state the requirements, and then we'll have a penalty if it's not. And it's just service department policy or service department regulations. That I have seen that.
And the advantage of that is, over time, as stuff changes, you can change your policy without amending the legislation, and or even worse, when they improve something and you've got existing legislation and you want the improved system, you know, they come in and argue that they only have to comply with the ordinance.
Unless it was our desire to not have that flexibility, but I don't think any of us, that is a desire.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, if you wanted to make it rigid, so it needed to have a change, then that would make sense, but I don't see that.
Because I don't think council has any specific expertise in, what we're, you know, where this needs to be. I mean, that's, we're counting on you to know that, I think.
Is it helpful, Kevin, to have this in the code when, you get approached by someone who's aggravated with you or with the city? And then you can say, there it is, it's been there since, you know, 2017, and, you know, it's, I mean, it's in writing, it's in black and white.
Yeah, it, I mean, it, it bears some weight, obviously, not being in our codified ordinances, but, as I mentioned earlier, the majority of this information is, it's already required anyways, because it's either an Ohio EPA or it's a plumbing code requirement. So it, this isn't anything that, Sylvania Service Department, decided to put in there. We're just updating, we updated from what we had in 88 to today's language. And, you know, I don't have any concerns if it's not in there. If we pull, you know, 922.02 to 922.08 out, I don't have an issue with that. I just, again, I, because it was in there before, I assumed council wanted it in, and so we, left it in.
Doug referenced the cross connections prohibited, and for some reason that section also stood out to me. Is there something specific to there that would be important to include if we were to
eliminate the one thing that's helpful on that is, and because there was actual this is an actual situation where the reason for that to be in there is that a general homeowner may see that. That may be something that we want to keep in the codified ordinance, because at least then they have, they don't have the, most of the backflow preventers and things of that nature, we're dealing with engineers or contractors that kind of know the game anyways, so they know what we're going to probably tell them to do. But in the cross connection, you know, Joe homeowner, if he, let's say there's a, trying to think of a pond in one of our developments. If he sticks a hose into a pond with a pump on it to, and then connects it to his sprinkling system and turns that pump on, he can push that pond water into our water system. And that's what that section is prohibiting, is don't connect our water system to anything else unless we know about it and we know how it's being done. And that, as I indicated, that was an actual occurrence in Springfield Township probably about 15, 20 years ago. And it caused people to get sick. And, you know, it was bad. It could have been a lot worse. But, you know, we want to try to prevent that.
And just curious, that is code to have that, but is it grandfathered that you don't have to have it in old construction? Or is it not code to have it? Is it here?
For
the backflow protection, like backflow, a residential.
In residential, you do not have to have backflow prevention in residential.
Oh, okay.
I take that back. Our meters automatically have a backflow preventer.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So in the example,
and they have to get their meter from us.
And they have to buy the meter.
Right.
In the example that you provided, that was old construction or the meter?
That was old construction.
Yeah, okay.
And in the area that it was, their meters did not have the backflow preventer on them.
Okay.
So, sprinkler systems in our community, the water runs through the meter, so it provides, the backflow is provided. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Okay.
we still require, on sprinkling systems, we still require a separate backflow preventer.
John says we have one.
Yes.
I checked.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, okay.
You can have a separate sprinkler system. That's separate from our water system. But you can't have one that's supplied by two sources.
Right, and have the two pipes connected in the line.
So do you think we need to have something in there about the penalty fee or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we need the penalty.
I'm just like, I think we need to stop, yeah.
I thought we needed a statement that the order could be specifically enforced. Make it clear that if he issues an order and somebody doesn't comply with it, we can go into court and say, comply with the order and get the court to order, and we want a penalty provision, and we have the ability to shut off water. Those things are all, I think we want all three of those.
Right, but it's the engineering specifications mostly that are going to be moved to more of an administrative operating policy or whatever Kevin decides he wants to call it.
Probably establish it as a rule.
Right.
That's what we've used.
There you go. That makes sense.
A couple questions. Even if we got it, I still want the Sylvania Township Fire Division in F. It must be 92206F. Sylvania Township Fire Division shall maintain a current record. Are they doing that? Have they been doing that? So that's no surprise to them.
Nope.
And also in 292207F, it says the city shall maintain, I assume they're doing that as well, a current record of backflow prevention devices. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because we have to verify that they've all been tested on an annual basis.
Okay. So do we want to say something if we do what Doug is suggesting in that first 922.01, that these are laws or requirements of the Ohio EPA as well as the plumbing code, I think you said. Is that in there? Would we want to refer to those for?
I think we could do that in the rule.
Okay, in the rule, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we all agree on that part of it, right? We're going to make some changes and remove some of the technical specifications, but keep the penalties and the rest of it. For more flexibility, if that's okay, do you want to move on to the next item then?
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Well, I had a couple more questions about the legislation, if we could go. In 920-101, the contract with the consumer, is this section effective outside of the city? In other words, we supply water in our water district, including to some people who are outside the city. We have the ordinance obviously doesn't apply outside the city.
Right.
Do we incorporate this by reference into our contract?
Our water agreement, exactly.
Okay.
They have to comply with the chapter 921.
Okay, and then the other question I had was, to the extent that we have city residents that are contracting with the city of Toledo for their water supply, mm-hmm. do these sections apply to them?
If they are getting their water from the city of Toledo, then no. It's only those that sign up for our water service.
So it's only through our system?
Right.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. All right. On 92106, the application for the tapping permit, obviously, I guess one of the questions I have, should we have an escalator, an escalator charge or an escalator phrase in there, something that it'll go up like 1.5% a year or, 2% a year? to deal with inflation? I mean, have we been only charging $200? And now we're going to charge, in some cases, $5,700? Because we just didn't update the legislation?
Yeah, no, we had increased the tap fee from, I'm sorry, Mr. Hanum, I forget the original amount. But about 2 years ago, we increased the tap fee from what it was to $1,200.
Okay.
And I forget what the fee was at the time, I'm sorry.
All right.
So we increased that to $1,200. And that was taking a look at material costs, labor costs, all of that. And that's something that we will plan to do. You know, we're looking at those costs pretty much on an annual basis. Am I going to be coming to you every year with an increase? No. We're doing it so that we can smooth those increases out. But that's something that we'll be taking a look at. The new charge for the 2-inch tap at $5,700.
Yeah.
That's our second most popular size of tap, if you will. And the way the old ordinance read, we always had to calculate that each time we had one.
Got it.
And so we prefer to get away from that and just say that the 2-inch tap is going to be $5,700. And then we don't have to do that calculation all the time.
Okay. So you don't. So we'll just assume that every few years we'll redo this. Okay. The other question I had was, there's a reference to copper pipe in 92109. Is that still, that's what you want, huh?
Yep.
No, we don't ever use.
Well, but that's from the curb to the meter.
We don't ever use PVC or anything else.
Not from the curb box to the meter.
Right.
Okay. Because I think I've got PVC in the house. I know I've got PVC in the house.
That's okay. Once it gets past the meter, then the homeowner can put whatever they want in the house.
And why do we prefer copper?
Because able to locate it.
Ah, okay.
Does the PVC freeze and crack too?
PVC, it really doesn't have more freezing capability, but the copper just provides some
more durable protection.
Right. It's also rigid.
Okay.
Yeah, more rigid, yeah. If somebody is digging and didn't make the proper notice, it's a little more, has a little more strength to it. So.
Okay, and I know you were talking about this assessment equivalent again, mm-hmm. And this is a big increase, but this is based on our last project?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if I had anything else. That's all I had. Okay.
Okay. The other item that we had to discuss, which I think was Doug's request as well, was customers that were receiving water through our system that were outside of the city limits. Is that right?
And Kevin, well, they're actually in the city limits.
Hold on. Before we jump there, we've got a proposed ordinance in front of us, so we're shelving that and not advancing that to the meeting tonight. Is that correct? Because of the modifications we're talking about?
Right.
No rush?
No.
Okay. Sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure that we.
Before I said we need a motion, do you have anything about what I meant? Except that we just request the administration to.
Right.
Update. You're looking for a motion for that? You think that necessary to have a motion, Mary?
It doesn't hurt.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is moved and passed.
Okay, here, let me just say what the other problem is, what the other issue is. We have a water district, and through annexations, we've annexed some properties that are outside our water district that are currently being serviced by the city of Toledo. So when those people need water service, they call the city,
right.
And we tell them, hey, you gotta call the city of Toledo. Well, not to be critical of the city of Toledo, but it's a much different, deal dealing with the city of Toledo's water department than it is dealing with ours. And it sure would be nice if we could figure out a way where all our city residents, even those that are not serviced by our water system, could deal with the city for the water service that they get through the city of Toledo. And that would include billing, for example. You know, that would be great if we could do it. And, because people don't understand why they live in the city of Sylvania, and that, and you know, now that as that annexation gets more further and further away, as those annexations get further, people don't even know, people have no idea that they have a different provider or don't understand why that is. So, what, Kevin, you, I know we've talked about this. What, you, anything going on with that?
Yeah, I had a I had a meeting today. It was supposed to be with the city of Toledo and the Lucas County Sanitary Engineer's Office. Unfortunately, the Sanitary Engineer's Office wasn't able to make it. They called this morning and they were going to have to cancel. But I did go ahead and meet with the city of Toledo. And they basically, you know, let me know how they handle retail operations in other parts of their system. Well, not their system, but through other contracts that they have with Lucas County, Rossburg, and a section of the Northwest Water and Sewer District service area. And so they provided that information to me and let me know that that's basically what we would be looking at if we chose to move forward with it. Those fees that they gave to me, the people that are in that area are paying already. It wouldn't be anything additional to them. I still need to meet with the Sanitary Engineer's Office to see what their position is on if we, you know, if we take that area over completely or if we just become the billing agent.
Right.
Because they're operationally, it does create some challenges between being on our water system and their water system. So there are some challenges there that we'll have to overcome. But I thought the Toledo meeting went well. I'll obviously reschedule to have a meeting with the Sanitary Engineer's Office to see if we can accomplish it. It may be a situation where some of the area completely becomes our service area and some of the area we're the billing agent for because of some of those operational concerns.
So when you say billing agent, is that also a single point of contact for service as well,
yeah,
right? So I mean, if they have a problem, then they would call us and then we would get with Toledo to have them work with it so they don't have to chase all that down, right?
Yeah. And it's actually, we've actually had that discussion already internally. Hopefully no one will hear you need to call the city of Toledo.
Right.
We're getting the address, we're calling the city of Toledo, and we're passing that message.
Right. That'll be a big improvement right there.
Yeah. Because it's no different than a street light being out. We don't tell the resident to call Toledo Edison. We pass
right.
the information on to Toledo Edison, we get the street light taken care of. And so we're addressing that internally. So hopefully that won't happen again.
That's a big improvement.
So Kevin, just some clarification and some context for me. How broad is this particular challenge that we've been discussing here? I mean, how many households or businesses or whatever are we talking about?
There's approximately 200 parcels.
Okay.
How many of those are occupied, I'm not real sure. Had our GIS tech take in the boundary that we were talking about, and there's approximately 200 parcels. It's the Sylvan Lakes area, the Kroger area, and then the high school area.
So the new Farmbrook area.
that is not included in it.
That's not in.
The high school stop, the high school is like the end of the line, and then we go west.
Okay, so.
It includes Hampstead.
So, of those entities that we would take over, so, well, let back up. So these are actually Lucas County water customers that are billed through the city of Toledo DPU, correct?
Correct.
So technically, any changeover would have to be between the city of Sylvania and Lucas County Sanitary Engineers Office, since they're in charge of that, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It needs Toledo's blessing because Toledo's a party to all
to the contract. Okay, fair enough. And out of the 200 parcels, how many of those are we going to become billing agent for? Do you have a sense of where that break is? It 150 billing agents and 50 we take, or the opposite of that?
I would say it's probably a little stronger to the side where we would become our area.
Okay.
It's probably 125, 75, 150, 50. That the 150, 125 to 150, we would become the service area. The 50 to 75, we would be the billing agent.
And for those areas that we would be the billing agent, when somebody calls 1-800, I'm digging tomorrow, who has the responsibility to mark in the billing agent scenario? How does that mechanically occur?
Lucas County would.
So Lucas County would still have those obligations in those areas where we were only the billing agent, but areas we started to serve, we would start to take over those responsibilities, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And do they mark? I mean, is there any kind of a fee to do the marking?
No.
Normally, so it's not like we would have to pay them to do the fee on it. If okay,
no.
It's just a service that's provided.
Correct.
Because it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And currently, that area that we're talking about, that is currently county water service, Sylvania sewer service. And so Toledo is collecting our sewer service, and we're currently paying them. We have to pay them a billing charge to collect that. So if we get this area switched, that goes away.
Okay.
So it's not big money, but it is a charge that would go away.
All right, something.
That's right.
Well, it sounds like a big... That phone call is a big fix.
Yep.
That's a big fix.
All right, so thanks for the update. And I think that's what you're hoping for, was an update tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other topics for the committee to consider tonight? Okay, if not, is there a motion to adjourn? All right, motion was, are all those in favor?
Aye.
Keep on saying aye. Aye. And aye. And we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:20.